A reading from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by God's word and by prayer. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed.
Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The theologian Marcella Althaus Reed writes these words. If you visit my city of Buenos Aires, please try to go and see the women lemon vendors who sit in the streets of some neighborhoods. Go, for instance, to the old marketplace of Constitucion, where my mother used to buy a chicken still warm with its feathers and apples which had not yet lost the dust of the Patagonia streets. Please go for a walk around the sunny streets of my barrio, San Telmo, where stray dogs sleep in the doors of abandoned buildings and prostitutes buy their newspapers at siesta time under the intense heat of summer. There is usually a sweet smell, that mixture of street garbage at the junction of the Avenue Nueva de Julio, which mixes with the smell of flowers and the baskets of lemons and onions and fresh herbs sold by the women who sit on the pavement. I return to this description of Argentina from Althaus Reed this week to remind myself of the joy that comes from the fleshiness of creation. Ours is a theology of bodies that act and move, that receive pain and pleasure, all of this in incarnation. Jesus' incarnation takes on this life, its shape and texture. Just before this section of the letter that we heard today, the pastor who writes to this early Christian community shares a short hymn. He was revealed in flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed in and throughout the world, taken up in glory. He was revealed in the flesh. This Jesus who is revealed to us in the tang of sweat, in the knot of a weary muscle. Jesus revealed in the flesh of the oil that runs down his wrist as he tears a piece of fish in his mouth of his resurrected body. Revealed in the flesh of an open wound, Thomas, come and put your hand inside of me. For Greek philosophers and pagans of the first century, this is the most ridiculous and laughable claim of the early church. Why, they wondered, would God, the creator of everything holy, perfect, and separate from creation, choose to become a person? Why would God not choose a slightly more noble part of the created order? Why not a star or the moon, the sun or a raging fire? The body of a human, subject to illness and hunger and eventually to death. Athanasius, a first century theologian, responds with this kind of tenderness. Jesus doesn't come simply to dazzle and frighten people. Jesus comes to heal and to hold, for God to give God's self to people. He came among us to share our flesh, Athanasius reminds us that Jesus touched all parts of creation and freed and undeceived them from every deceit. Because in Jesus, all of creation is redeemed. Every created thing wrapped up in the promise of God's love and care and forgiveness. All of this is a preface to this very shocking claim that the pastor makes today. Everything God created is good if it is received with thanksgiving. The chicken still warm, the dusty apples, the scent of women's bodies mixed in with the smell of lemons and trash that waft around the carts of the Koya, the indigenous women. Hold on to that for a moment. Everything God created is good when it is received with thanksgiving. Claims to the counter, teachings that invalidate the goodness of sex and marriage, that forbid eating meat as a kind of bodily punishment. The letter we heard today calls this the work of demons. There's a fierce rejection of this form of asceticism. The false teachers who make this claim have their minds cauterized by hypocrisy. Isn't that amazing imagery? It's actually the image of a slave being branded by a slaver. It is enslavement to reject the goodness of God in all creatures in the breadth of creation. The subjects of this letter, this section of the letter, are sex and food, two of the most significant sources of consternation and pleasure in creaturely life. And we know that the people of this time are caught up in two competing temptations. Clement of Alexandria writes shortly in this, or around the same time that this letter is, that this pastoral letter is written, about a popular phrase in the first century. It was, everyone ought to abuse his own flesh. There's something that is a kind of Gnosticizing impulse in the first century. This idea that your body is merely a vessel, an animated carcass waiting spiritual enlightenment. And if that's the case, pleasure and bodies are a distraction. You rule the body by the spirit. But there is also another side to this. If your body doesn't matter, then nothing you do does either. If all that matters is your mind or secret wisdom or knowledge, the other side is just excessive consumption. Consume as much of everything as you can, sex, food, wine, money. None of it matters anyway because your body is meaningless. And I appreciate that rather than trying to carve out moderation or middle space, the pastor in 1 Timothy says this, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving. The thing that makes something created good is that it's given by a good creator. Think about how you treat gifts you receive from someone you love. We look at a painting from a child, and we love that thing because we love the child who made it. We receive a beautiful heirloom from a relative who has died, and we love it not because it's wood or steel or gold. We love it because it was given out of love, and it carries love within it. The problem for the pastor is that when we begin to treat our fellow creatures as objects to be used, when our gaze turns to lust, this desire to possess another. This also means that we are welcome to delight, to delight in the things that are despised and overlooked and underappreciated. Remember again the scene of the lemon cellars painted by Althus Reed. There is delight to be found in everything because everything that is created is good. Are you waiting for an exception? Perhaps you believe you are the exception. Everything God created is good, but perhaps not this thing, or this desire, or this body. But this is the good news. Bodies that ooze and excrete, bodies that get old and frail, creatures that are soft and pliable, fat bodies and disabled bodies, queer bodies, disgraced bodies, bodies changing and transgressing, bodies escaping our expectation, crossing boundaries, crossing borders, all of these bodies settle deep down into the root of creation where the Creator exclaims, "You are good and I am well pleased." The joys of this life is that this desire from God becomes the pattern of our own lives. As God looks on us with loving delight, so we become loving delight to another. And so we take time, we pay attention, we savor. This moment of delight, when you love another creature only for the joy they offer, recognizing that that love is held forever in the eternal love of a God who is in a relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we call this thankfulness. As we continue on in this letter, we find that the pastor who writes it tells his community they have to train themselves for this. He goes on to use this as sort of a metaphor of a race. This is what it means to be a good follower of Jesus. Enjoyment of creation, receiving the goodness of creatures, this requires us to train ourselves. But if we sit with this, I think we can sense the deep truth of that. Miriam Kaba, the great abolitionist teacher, likes to say that hope is a discipline. Hope is a discipline. Because in a world of excess of consumption, of economies that reduce human and non-human animals to their use value for building wealth, it actually takes work and community and practice to discover the goodness of things. We work on these habits of receiving one another as creatures, as gifts, and not as possessions, of being open-handed with the gifts that we receive. It actually takes discipline to love our bodies that are unruly, that veer from cultural and social standards of beauty or ability or shape or size. And so one of the most beautiful and truthful words of good news is found near the end of this letter. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. The gifts around you that are waiting to be received. The gift of taking time to love a creation exploited and harmed. The gift of your own body that is a good creation from a good God. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. May these words be written on the flesh of our hearts.